This is Pastor Mike Parks welcoming you to Church 180's weekly radio broadcast, Turn Your Life Around. It is our prayer that through the word we are about to share, that you would be encouraged, enlightened, and empowered to get your life on track through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's get right into the message this week. I hope it's a blessing. This morning, we're going to go to court for a little bit. And I want to be, believe it or not, I know the Bible calls the devil the accuser of the brethren. But this morning, I'm going to step into the role of the prosecutor. And I've got a charge I'd like to bring against the devil. And it's a case of stolen identity. And this morning, I want to start in Luke chapter 15. I want you guys to mark three places in your Bible this morning because we're going to turn back and forth between these three passages. I have other scripture I'm going to quote this morning. If you want to write those down, or if you just, you can go online and find the notes. I'll put the notes up there. They're not on there this morning. Like I said, I've been busy. But they'll be there right after service this morning. If you want to go pull the notes and find all the scripture references, they'll be on online. Go to church180.org and click on digital media and just click on Pastor Mike's notes. The notes will be there this afternoon. But these three particular passages are Luke 15, Luke chapter 4, and Matthew chapter 1. So if you want to go ahead in your Bibles and just put your thumb in there, your fingers or your markers, whatever you want to do, Luke 15, Luke 4, and Matthew 1. We're going to start in Luke 15 and verse 11, and it says, and he said, he there's Jesus. Jesus says, this is the parable of the prodigal son. Very famous scripture, but I'm going to come about it this morning from a different angle. And right off the bat, it tells us that a certain man had two sons. That's important. Say sons. You see, we're not talking about servants. We're not talking about cousins. We're not talking about anybody else. We're talking about sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that have fallen to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a city. That means he took a job, by the way. King James, I know, is not always real clear. He went and he took a job with a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Now, you must understand, Jesus was telling this parable to who? Jews. And so this little boy, this man who had two sons, it is implied that these were Jewish people. And so when you see that he's feeding swine, this is the worst thing this kid could have done. Because the pigs were unclean, and now he's working, feeding pigs. And he would fain, that means he wanted, he tasted, to have his belly filled with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. And when he, now say, came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and no more am worthy to be called your son. Say, no more worthy. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now this morning, what I'd like to do in this case of the stolen identity, I'd like to prove my case. But before I can get into what the devil has done, I need to lay a background. Can I just for a moment walk you through something I want you to understand? For far too long, we have been duped. The church has been working so hard to please God. How many has even said, I want to please God? Raise your hand. How many of you have done things hoping to please God? Let me give you a secret. You're God's children. He's already pleased. When Jesus was baptized, what did God say? This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. What had Jesus done yet? What miracle had Jesus performed when you read about the baptism of Jesus? Nothing. Jesus had done nothing on this earth that had to do with his ministry, yet the Father said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, because he is pleased with his children. Just like Connor was in this play and he stole the show. I know I'm a little biased as a critic, but he stole the show. But even in stealing the show, Connor had a couple little things that he would admit to you he could have done better. Now, just because he didn't do everything perfect does not make me any less pleased with him than had he done everything perfect. Understand, here's the better part. I was pleased before the play ever started. Do you understand why? Because he's my son, and I'm proud of him. Just like Austin played baseball yesterday. Austin pitched the first game. Wasn't his best outing. We won the game, but he will even tell you it wasn't his best outing. Did that make me any less pleased with Austin? Absolutely not. You know what? Before the game ever started, I was pleased. Why? Because he's my son. And see, for far too long, the church has been duped, thinking that we are servants and working our way to please God. Let me tell you a secret. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not going to do anything that pleases God any more than he's already pleased. Let me continue on my case. So John chapter 1, verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So Jesus came so that we could be what? Children of God. All right, let me go on. Evidence number 3. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3 says, and verily, I say unto you, by the way, if you got a red letter Bible, this is in red, Jesus said this, except you be converted and become as little what? Children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. What are you converting from? From yourself to a child of God. You understand? Evidence, the next piece of evidence, Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Go on. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption. Listen, what's adoption about? Becoming what? Becoming sons or daughters, right? And you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is the Hebrew word for daddy. Let's go on. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Then it goes on, it says, and if you're sons, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorify together. Go on. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the who? The world is waiting for people to realize that we are the sons and daughters of God and to take our rightful place, not because that makes us anything, but because of what we do, because we're God's children. Randy and I was talking this morning about outreach. He goes, you know, when you talk about this works thing, maybe we're doing too much work and not spending enough time with God. I said, no. The outreach is a product of who we are. It's not what we are. See, so many people, and let me tell you something. I love this man right here, Danny Sheridan. You want to know how easy it'd be for Danny Sheridan to get the big head? Now, let's just break this down for a minute. A little over 3 years ago, we were in Phoenix, Arizona. It's been almost 4 years. We were in Phoenix, Arizona. We climbed a mountain. I don't even know if he spoke going up the mountain because he don't speak much. Back then, you know, you say something, Danny, he goes, huh, yeah. I know you do. I know you do. He don't say much. We go up that mountain, by the way, it's called Prayer Mountain. The church that owns the land, they call it Prayer Mountain. We climbed up there to pray. We was at a conference, and that's just part of it. It's one of the things we decided to do. Got up early one morning, went up to the top of the mountain, we prayed. You guys seen the picture of Justin kind of looking over the city that we have that up here sometimes? Well, the bald guy looking over the city, that's him, by the way. If you didn't know it, that was Justin. And that picture was taken by me on top of that mountain. But when we got done praying, Danny comes to me and says, it's time for me to start my ministry. Now listen, in 3 years' time, he started with nothing. He started with nothing. He said, I want to do a ministry for people who have addiction problems. I said, okay. So Danny begins to do it. He begins to do the work, and he begins to do all the things. All I did was get him equipment. All I did was get him material. All I did was give him a night here at the church. That's it. That's all I did. I gave it to the man. The man took it and ran with it. The man has done such a good job that he is now the state representative of Celebrate Recovery over 8 counties. But listen, Danny's done great work. Many people have been touched. Many people, you know, Brandon, where's Brandon at? Brandon has been clean now for, 2 years? Almost 2 years on June the 19th. On June the 19th, Brandon will have been clean from heroin. For 2 years. We got other people in here. It's been Brian. How long you been clean? 4.5 years. Amen. Danette, how long you been clean? How much? 1 year and 4 months. Amen. We got others who have. Mark, how long? 11 months. There we go. Go ahead. How much? 4 years. 10. And they all are part of Celebrate Recovery. And Dan's doing this awesome job in this ministry. But let me tell you something. Dan isn't the Celebrate Recovery state. If he gets his identity from that ministry, he's been duped. Celebrate Recovery is not who Dan is. Dan is a child of God and does Celebrate Recovery because he's a child of God. Celebrate Recovery does not describe who he is. But see, that's what the devil does. Danny, you're awesome. See, once he can't get Danny with persecution and affliction or the cares of this world, the Bible says the next is the deceitfulness of riches or the lust of other things. Now, I know he hasn't tried deceitfulness of riches with you yet. See, I can't wait till he tries that on me because I'm going to take it all and I'm going to put it into the ministry. We're just going to rock this thing. But I can't wait till he tries. But what he does is the lust of other things. And Danny, you're doing awesome. You know what, Danny? You don't need to listen to Pastor Mike anymore. You need to go out and start. You see all these people that come on Monday nights? You go out and start your own church. Because you are awesome, Dan. Because you're doing all this great stuff. That's what the devil does. And he tries to get him off of his identity as a son of God and make his identity all about what he does. You see what I'm saying? The devil stole. I'm getting into my case now. This is what the devil does. I'm not done. Let's read some more scripture. 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has told us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. Look at this. What? Okay, so we went. Oh, let's go to Galatians before I'm done here. Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So we started in John 1, St. John, went to Matthew, went to Romans, went to 1 John and to Galatians, constantly showing you scripture, evidence that you are the children of God. Say, I am God's child. Amen. Well, you all said that. That wasn't very convincing. Say, I am God's child and mean it.
I am God's child.
All right, there we go. Now, are you ready for? Amen. Now, are you ready for something that's going to blow your mind? Turn to Matthew 1. This is amazing. Sister Jance, I didn't even have this one till this morning in the prayer room. This is amazing. This will blow your mind. What is Matthew 1? It's the very first thing of the new what? What's the other word for testament? This is the first writings of the new covenant, Article 1. And this is what it says. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Next verse. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas. And how many of us have read this and just went right on through and ignored it? What does begat mean? Fathers had sons. And fathers and sons, and fathers and sons, and fathers and sons. See, you're not getting it yet. The new covenant was sonship. The very first thing God wrote was, hey, you are going to be my children. In the Old Testament, only the people of Israel can be God's children. But in the New Testament, everybody who accepts Jesus can be a child of God. And that's what God shows us right in the very first chapter of the New Testament, that you are going to be my child. It's all about being a children of God. Do you understand? This is awesome. This is awesome. Because listen, if you realize you're a child of God, and that is who your identity is, it changes everything for you. But let's talk for a little bit more. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. This is right after the baptism of Jesus when God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You remember that? This is the very next thing that happened. It says, and Jesus, Verse 1. Being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. Jordan was the river where he got baptized. And was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they ended, he was hungry. I don't know why they put that in there. Because I want to say, duh. He didn't eat for 40 days. Of course he was hungry. And the devil said unto him, now watch this. If you be the who of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Look, the devil didn't challenge Jesus' power. He challenged his identity. He didn't say, if you've got power, turn this stone into bread. He said, if you're the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. He challenged his identity. He didn't challenge his power. He didn't challenge any of those things. He said, if you're the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Now, let's see. Here's the temptation. See, most people look over to Sister Janice and they think Jesus was hungry, so that's why he's tempting him with food. No, that's not the temptation. The temptation is, don't let God be your provider. Provide for yourself. I'm going to let that settle in. I'm going to let you get that. The temptation wasn't get some food. The temptation was, you don't need God to provide for you. If you're the Son of God, provide it for yourself. And how many of us struggle through life trying to provide for ourselves when we're the Son of God? And we're not the Son of God. We're a Son of God or a daughter of God. Please understand. And if I slip and say the Son of God, you know what I mean. I'm human. Because by no means do I mean that we are any more than Jesus Christ. He's our big brother, and he's the only one who ever did this thing perfect. Understand that? I want to make that clear. But how many of us are tempted, and how many of us try to provide our own way and do it our way and do it? You know what? It's not Burger King. It's Christ the King. Burger King, you have it your way. Christ the King, you do it his way. You understand? It's not Burger King. You don't do it your way. But he said to him, he said, if you're the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Let's go on. Jesus answering him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So then we go on. So what did he say? By every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. What's he saying? What's Jesus saying here? God's my provider. When the devil comes tempting you, you need to start saying, the Father's my provider. Oh, this is awesome. And the devil then took him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now listen, I don't know how this worked. Because even if they would have climbed the highest mountain in the world, they still couldn't have seen around the world. The world's round. So this was some supernatural thing. This was something big. This was some big thing. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give to you and the glory of them, for it has been delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. If you will worship me, all shall be thine. If you're the Son of God, worship me and I'll give you all this stuff. She still challenges his identity. He don't want Jesus to be God's son. He wants Jesus to be king. What's he doing here? Now he's stroking Jesus' ego. He's tempting Jesus with ego. See, the first thing he tempted him with was be your own provider. The second thing he's tempting him with is power. Jesus answered and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. He said, I'm not going to worship you. I'm going to worship the Father. And as his son, whatever he gives me, I'm okay with. Boy, some of us need to stop right there and just hear that. Are you okay with what God's given you? Are you okay with what God's brought you to? See, a lot of people aren't. A lot of people get mad at God because of things they have to go through, things they have. They get angry at God. But a good child knows that the Father has a plan. A good child knows that the Father's going to provide and protect and guide. A good child knows these things and does what the Father says. Jesus was okay with that. Now here's the kicker. A lot of this is new information. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give you his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time you should dash your foot against a stone. Most of you look at this and you picture Jesus on top of a building, right? It's because you don't know how the temple's built. Jesus couldn't have been the only person allowed inside the holy place of the temple indoors was the high priest. It was in the outer court that everybody convened. So if Jesus is on the pinnacle, then who's at his feet? The outer court, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, if you will. This wasn't the devil didn't take him up there and it was an empty room below. There were people there. And which people were there? The religious folks. And if Jesus would have cast himself down, the devil even knows God's word's true. What'd he say? Because it is written, they're going to not let you dash your foot against a stone. They'll bear you up in their hands. Here's the temptation. Right there in front of Jesus, he had his chance to prove to the world who he was. Now it's not only do you want to provide for yourself, now you're going to take the plan and do it your way. God had a way to make Jesus revealed as the Son of God. And the first time he came as a lamb that had to be slain for us. But the second time he'll come back as that great king they were looking for. But he's telling Jesus here, if you cast yourself down, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. And all these religious folks will see you swept up by the angels, and they'll worship you as their Messiah. So let's get out of God's plan. Do it your way. He's trying to steal his identity, if you're the Son of God. He didn't question anything else. He didn't even question that the angels would pick Jesus up and keep him from hitting the ground. He didn't question that. He didn't question stones being made bread. He didn't question any of these things. What he challenged was his identity. If you be the Son of God. Now go back to Luke chapter 15. There was the son. We just read the story. And what the son did the son make a mistake? Absolutely. The son took his inheritance and he left home. And this represents people outside of the fold. Sinners. This is what this, it's a parable. It's a representation of real life. And so, this young man went out, got out of the kingdom, got out of God's house, got out of the Father's house. And he went and he squandered everything he had on riotous living. That means he was a partier. Ain't you ever squander anything, everything you have on partying? Amen. Amen. And when he came to himself, he said, watch this. How many of my father's servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Next verse. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me one of thy hired servants. This is what the devil has done to the church, to the believers, to the people who say that they are the ones who are saved, the born again people. They think they're not worthy to be called the sons of God. They think they're not worthy to be called the children of God. And all they want is to be servants. And the devil has convinced them that that's a good thing. Serving God, Sister Janice, is a good thing. And let me tell you, it is. But if you get your identity from serving God, that's not how you get saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You get saved, or you get born again, or you get into the kingdom by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior and coming into the role of being a child of God. Adopted. Romans 8 said adopted. Into the family. No longer an orphan. No longer out on your own. No longer have to provide for yourself. No longer have to plan for yourself. No longer have to do these things without help. Man, that's a shouting line. You all missed it. No longer by ourselves. Because now you have a Father who loves you unconditionally. A Father who loved you so much, He took His only begotten Son, or the only Son that was born directly of Him, and killed Him for you. That's how much He loves you. That's how much this Father loves you. Do you understand this morning? And so this guy says, I'm no longer worthy to be, and he's duped into thinking, I know what I'll do. I'll go back and I'll just say, make me a servant. And this is why we don't see the power of God like we read about in history. This is because we're not acting as sons of God and daughters of God. We're acting like servants. Now, you know the story? The story is the son goes home. And the Bible says that as he's making his way home, the Father saw him afar off. That tells us the Father's looking for you. If you're that son that's been out from the fold, the Father's looking for you. The Father's, and the Bible says the Father ran to him. The Father ran to him. And he threw himself and hugged him. And it says he took his robe and put it on him. And he took his ring off his finger and gave him that. And he told the servants, go kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. Now, are you ready for the, I'm ready to take it home. Closing arguments. Now show him the one about the elder son. Now his elder son was where? Who's supposed to be in the field? Servants. I'm going to let that say, this is on purpose. Who's supposed to be in the field? His elder son was in the field and he came and drew near the house and he heard music and dancing. Now that must have been some party because he could hear dancing. Who did he go to? Did he go to the father and say, what's going on? He went to a servant and he said, what mean these things? What's going on? Wait a minute, you're the son. Why aren't you going to the father and finding out what's going on? Because he's been in the field as a servant. His identity was stolen. And he said, your brother has come, and the father hath killed the fatted calf because he's received him safe and sound. And he was angry. Angry? And would not go in. Therefore, now watch this. This is the father's love right here. Because the father knew the older son was missing it. And why did the father, now see, you miss it. You got to read the Bible. When you read the Bible, you got to read it. How did the father know he wouldn't come in? He was looking for him. The same way that he got the young one coming, he looked around in the party and said, where's my other son?
I pray this week's message has touched your heart. If you have need of prayer or would like more information, you can call Church 180 at 937-386-0333. Visit our website at www.church180.org or check out our Facebook page. Our church is non-denominational with a welcoming environment. Blue jeans are welcome and so are you. Church 180 is located at 2556 Moores Road in Seaman, Ohio, right across from North Adams High School. We would love to have you come be part of our family. The services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. This is Pastor Mike Parks praying you have a blessed week and we'll see you next Sunday right here on C103.